What a goal!
The League of Ireland is back.
Every Friday night, it'll be impossible to miss the League of Ireland.
Make sure you listen to the League of Ireland exclusively on Off the Ball.
Become a member now and join in the obsession. Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.
Yes, you're welcome back to Off the Ball. Adrian with you for the next hour and a half. JD still in studio with me here. We'll be keeping an eye on all of those Gaelic games as they continue. Plenty of connotations across the afternoon. So sit tight for all of that good stuff to come for you over the next while. But as the Sting says, it is the Sunday papers. Orla McElroy is the sports editor of the Irish Daily Mail and the Mail on Sunday, and is joined by the writer and author Declan Lynch of the Sunday Independent and Beyond. Good afternoon, folks.
Hello.
Hey, Adrian.
Thanks a million for coming in. Lots of good stuff to get into. We'll give people a small flavour of what's happening across the back pages to begin with. The Sunday Independent sports section, hope, honour and hope in defeat. It says here, French flourish denies Ireland the chance of a famous comeback. Reflections on that 27-15 win for France in Belfast. Halgrimson, there will be no, there's to be no holding back. It seems he's become more Irish, if that's his turn of phrase, than ourselves. Ireland boss demanding another win against Bulgaria. The Mail on Sunday, meanwhile, has more photographs from Belfast there. Rueful-looking Aaron King after the full-time whistle. Ireland let chance slip. France hold off brave second-half fight back in Six Nations opener. And let's go for it, says a very positive Heimer. We're not going to try and draw. We want to win this. The Sun on Sunday goes with yellow. Is it me you're looking for? I mean, I think that gets the, sorry, Orla, but that gets the tab of the morning there, it's tab of the afternoon. It is a good one. And it's all in relation to, obviously, the potential that Bulgaria could be a bit physical for us this evening, and there might be a few yellow cards at stake. Heimer cautions players ahead of the second leg. And farewell to Icon. Plenty about George Foreman in that paper and in some of the others as well. Battle of the Bulg, says the Sunday Mirror today, and a bloodied Robbie Brady there. Ireland braced for roughhouse tactics from Bulgaria, writes Paul O'Hare. And no way back for Rashford, says Jeremy Cross. Ruben Amorim will not offer Rashford a Manchester United lifeline this summer. I don't know, would it be so much a lifeline, like he's flying at where he is? So could you technically call that a lifeline to go back to where it was all so crap? And we shall see. Sunday World says it's all or nothing. Ireland boss wants to go bull tilt for victory, writes Dan McDonald inside. And Gray, a target for Liverpool. Thoughts of John, Pat Spillane inside as well. The Sunday Times has a lovely photograph of George Foreman here, reflections on his passing from Matthew Syed and more inside. And Paul Rowan writes, Bulgaria deny they will try to rough Ireland up. And finally, we'll go to Sunday People, very much a UK focused audience here with Nip and Tuck. A new boss warns England will have to be prepared to win ugly when games are tight. And more on that story about Marcus Rashford. So I think we'll start with the soccer. It's obviously match day at the Aviva this evening. Ireland bringing this 2-1 lead into the game against Bulgaria. Plenty of writing about it across the papers today. Declan, how much was that sort of the 2-1 win in Plovdiv? There's been such an amount of positivity out of it. How much of it was a window into what we could be, do you think?
Yeah. Well, look, first of all, Adrian, I just want to say that those excellent headlines, Battle of the Bulg and yellow, is it me you're looking for? There's something that really heartwarming about that. That, you know, our industry is under terrible stress from the monstrosities of the world. And yet it's like this plucky resistance is being put up in tabloid papers. They're like, I keep seeing really good headlines, you know, in, you know, the last sort of number of months. You know, not quite, super Cali Go ballistic Celtic are atrocious, but that's really good, and it raises my spirits a little bit, you know, to see that, you know, we're still capable of this kind of thing. Very good, you know?
Regardless of the football, the back pages can give you that lift.
Yeah, but like the Bulgaria thing, it's an extraordinary thing. Like, Bulgaria seem to be in a worse state than we are. Tommy Conlon has a very good piece in the Sunday Indo, in which he. He describes what he calls the fallacy of relative privation. Apparently, it's a thing. It's basically like there's always somebody whose problems are worse than yours. And then in the piece, he goes through numerous different ways of describing this. That our match against Bulgaria, it was like it's better to be one rung higher than the next poor Egypt, or a soup kitchen squabble. Tommy isn't getting too carried away,
no.
Obviously. And, you know, he's describing some of the teams that the Bulgarian guys play for. you know, PEC Zwolle and the like. And yet they're able to sort of outdo our lads in some areas of the game. So we are in this peculiar situation, not least because half of us no longer have any idea what's going on in terms of like, what is the Nations League? Is it bad if we lose even? If what happens if we win? Does anything come out of this eventually? I got lost quite a long time ago with this, and I am like obsessed with football. So how, what you might call, the neutral is supposed to deal with this, I have no idea. It's a fundamental problem in any sport. It's like with the FedEx Cup in golf, where you needed sort of actuarial assistance to figure out, you know, who's first, second and third. You can't have that in a popular sport. You have to know. It's like when the GAA starts changing things. Nobody's any idea what, you know, is there any point in playing these games anymore? Or will it bring you anywhere? Or will there be? There has to be this some sort of sense of some winning is very good. And
well, I think it's been reduced to listening to our own Nathan try and make sense of it from Plovdiv during the week. It's been reduced to we'd feel better about ourselves if we won.
Yeah.
I think that's some total.
I mean, like Nathan, by all means, this is why we have Nathan in the world, because like, you know, but I have to look to Nathan, right? And, you know, I think I should know myself. I think we should all have a much better idea of what all this means, like life itself. Do you know what I mean? We need to have some grasp of the meaning of existence. Likewise, the meaning of the Nations League. And I don't think we do. I mean, clearly, if we beat Bulgaria tonight, that is probably good. But maybe it's not maybe it doesn't matter.
Well, I think it'll mean we'll stay in. I know you're talking about a more of a philosophical question here rather than the actual nuts and bolts. Yeah. But I think effectively it means we stay in League B. To be or not to be is.
But staying in League B, what is the payoff?
The material benefit of that.
Yeah. I presume that you're playing slightly better teams, then you're going to have a slightly better ranking, which gets you into a slightly better seeding for groups for qualification. Isn't that it?
That's essentially it. Yeah. The two things it was reduced to by Nathan during the week was staying in League B would be, just that we'd largely feel better about ourselves and the brand Republic of Ireland would be more of a commercially viable thing.
Oh, great.
You know, yeah, so I think, I'm sure when Sepp Blatter or whoever, you know,
if you can get that into a terrace chant, you know, more commercially viable thing.
We're still in Group B. Huh?
Yeah. All I was mentioning earlier, that it's something that maybe it means we don't have to keep playing Oman in friendlies.
Yeah, so the Nations League replaced friendlies, didn't it? It was like, we're going to give you these games. So UEFA now give us the games instead of leaving the FAI to go and make deals with Oman to play them on a regular basis.
Well, I mean, I think the FAI would say this is a reduction of their commercial value, that they can't play Oman every other week. So Tommy is very much on the other side of the positivity line of things here. Two skinheads battling for a comb is
He goes through numerous variations on that team, you know. So it's just, so you know, we do get some crack out of it at the same time, you know. So it's not completely pointless.
Have we turned the corner, Orla? That's the.
I mean, there is, like, in general, a bit more sort of positivity. Like, Mark Gallagher makes the point that, like, when the players arrived in Abbottstown for training yesterday, that there was a bit of joking and crack going on, and that, like, Robbie Brady, I think, was making jokes and slagging off Tony O'Donoghue and things like that. And Paul Rowan, in his piece, mentions how Hamer kind of lets the criticism slide off him a lot more in the Giovanni Trapattoni mold. And it's a bit, makes me think that, you know, somebody like Stephen Kenny, who wanted the job so badly and had to live here and listen to everything, might have struggled a bit more to let that, you know, wash off him. Like, Hamer has famously said he couldn't believe how much media attention there is around the job, which there is a lot. But like, the fact that he's not Irish, he kind of can go, well, OK, you're criticising, so that's fine. But it kind of floats off a bit. And there seems to be, in general, a bit more positivity.
Mm. Yeah, the interesting piece by Shane McGrath in the Mail about Evan Ferguson. Like, I remember maybe about a year ago, 18 months ago, there was a general sense that, like, most international teams can get by on one brilliant player, you know? Like, they're full of journeymen from, like, you know, Milton Keynes United and stuff like this. But, like, they have, like, you know, Lewandowski or something, right? And that's great. That's a great thing about that. The Lewandowskis are forced to mingle with all these lads, you know? And Evan Ferguson was going to be our Lewandowski, you know, and then, you know, really, unfortunately, I mean, he's had really bad injuries. And Shane McGrath's piece is just wondering, like, if he's at this point in his career now, is he, has it been a kind of, you know, it's a very ruthless world in the Premier League. So, like, is he going to move on and do better? Or, was this a mirage? Was it like, it's a personal tragedy for him in the sense of being injured and all that kind of stuff. But, like, that was our game plan, really. Always, like, you know, he was it. As far as I was concerned, like, you know, certainly Wales did huge things with two players, you know, Gareth Bale and Ramsey, you know, two kind of high class players can do enormous amounts of good in an international team. And if we had a really good goalkeeper, and if we had Ferguson as well, you know, you can go a long way with that. So we just hope that he's really going to become the player we all thought he was going to be, because that would be brilliant. Yeah. I think that would be a huge difference. Like, I mean, that's all it is. And look around at the international teams. There's a few brilliant ones. The vast majority of them are really kind of fairly average, you know.
And we're also in a position now where we've a back four. We can put together a back four. They're all playing the Premier League. So it's, I mean, listen, our midfield is maybe a bit of an issue, but Ferguson one is so interesting because he's obviously... the graph, I think it was a chain that said it, the graph was very steep to begin with, and then injury, form, you know, change of managers, it has not caught fire from since that. Like, I mean, there's been no flame at all. You could probably go as far as to say a lot of it maybe through no fault of his own, but he's simply not playing football. When you take a step back from it, like, I mean, he is 20.
Yeah, yeah. You know, well, that is good. I mean, that's, I suppose, the best thing about it. Like, we think he's older, but in fact, he's still a very young player, you know, so...
He could still be our Lewandowski, Declan.
Well, that's that's the dream, you know, seriously. You know, it might... I think that's the problem with the way we look at international football. We think that success is further away than it actually is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A couple of things going right for you can actually change things hugely. And in fact, you know, the link here... if we look back at even Jack's time with playing Bulgaria again, there's a piece by Mick Foley in the Sunday Times about that game when Bulgaria came to Lansdowne Road in 1987 needing a draw. They just needed not to get beaten to go through. Ireland beat them 2-0. It was a match I was actually at. And one thing I always remember was Ireland had about four centre-halves on the pitch, one of whom was Mick McCarthy. And Mick went to take a throw-in. And as he went to throw, he had a famous long throw, right? So as he was going to take the throw, someone in the crowd shouted out, you know, "Show them your class, Mick." And everybody laughed. Everybody immediately got this joke, including probably Mick, you know. So there was this, you know, built-in sense that, like, you know, we weren't maybe that great at the time, but, you know, we had something. And they duly won the match. Incredibly, then Scotland went on and beat Bulgaria in Sofia. You know, from being at that game and just thinking, like, you know, it was in the afternoon as well. Because there was no lights in Lansdowne Road, and our crap pitch was considered to be an advantage over other teams who were
a leveler
in playing football and stuff. You know, but. You know, that's maybe what we can take out of that we're not far off it, maybe, of being able to compete. Because, you know, you see, like, Kazakhstan there playing last night against Wales. And there's nothing terrifying about it, really. You know what I mean? It's not like watching, you know, primetime Real Madrid and quaking in your boots. It's not really that bad, you know?
Yeah. So, I say you see Wales playing Kazakhstan last night. I mean, I don't know. You might have done.
I watched some of it. Yeah. No, to be perfectly honest, I didn't watch all of that match, but I watched enough of it to let me know that I didn't need to see any more.
It's interesting. I read that piece of Michael Foley, and I did know Stoichkov played in that game.
Yes.
Who became Bulgaria's greatest ever player.
Yeah.
But you think about it, 1987. I was 9. Our best days were ahead of us. Mm. So the quarterfinal of the World Cup 1990, Bulgaria reached semifinals 1994, and we were a poor country. We had nothing. Mm. And look at us now, this rich country with all this money that you could decide to spend on academies. Okay, you might need to put conditions in the FAI to do so. but it was way before horse and greyhound racing fund in 1987 when we had an Irish team playing Bulgaria. It's just a sad situation that we're in now, that we're both countries in such decline. And you'd really hope that there is some appetite in the corridors of power to fix this.
Well, I smell a little change coming, is the words of Heimir Helgrimsson this week, JD. He's feeling, he's not feeling Tommy Conlon about it. He's feeling very Heimir Helgrimsson about it, and that there's an opportunity here. And there does seem to be that with around the place we talked about at start of the news round at 1 o'clock, that there a bit of positivity even out of the first half, the last hour.
Yeah, and you know, I wonder is part of it that he's been more positive. Like, there's one of the pieces where he mentions, he goes back to, he says that his initial assessment when he was, he said he didn't like talking about it after the match because he felt his initial assessment was too harsh. And when he went back and looked at the video, he thought, well, it didn't ever look like, you know, we were going to lose it, and that the second half was a lot better than he had originally thought. So I don't know, is it that he's creating a narrative that it feels a bit more positive?
You weren't feeling it. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't watch the match in great detail because I was working, so I was kind of watching it beside me. So, you know, I'll wait and see. I mean, it is, people are holding it up. Like, there's a couple of the pieces that pointed out that Bulgaria are a bit of a cautionary tale for us in that look where they were and how they've fallen, and that if we don't do the things that JD's talking about and maybe invest and develop players and all those things, we could end up there and we'll be, as Declan was saying, you know, that rung further down on the ladder and some other sucker is getting an even break out of us. But, you know, the hope is that enough people are aware that something needs to be changed for something to actually change.
I like Helgrimsson as well. I think he, you know, like he has that experience of like Iceland, for God's sake, you know. I mean, Iceland classically would have had one player, you know, and Gudjonsson basically was, and usually called Gudjonsson, but like they were just a joke, and they still got quite far. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's doable, and I think he knows that. And I quite like him. I think he's kind of smart, and he's got a kind
he
of
is pretty likeable,
fairly positive attitude, without being sort of sickening about it. Do you know what I mean?
He's also got a couple of things that are just going for him. Like, in a way that Stephen Kenny had so many unfortunate things happen to him, that Helgrimsson is kind of having the opposite happen, that things are kind of going his way. Like, okay, we've gone a goal down in a couple of games, but they've come back and won. And, you know, there hasn't been an unlucky second that's put us even further behind and even more chasing the game than we would have been. But, like, things have kind of fallen for him a bit more than had been happening in the past.
It's probably helpful that he doesn't care about it so much.
Yeah. I think that's good. You know, I mean, he does seem to be to have some sort of, I don't know, a sense of proportion or something, right? It's hard to put it exactly, you know, what it is. But I think he has something like, do you know what I mean? I think he comes across as having a sense of like what can be done, and that he's able to do it if things go a certain way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have a sense of despair, put it like that, when I see him. You know what I mean? I think there's something about him that is kind of gives some sort of reason for us.
Well, it's not a bad start. Yeah. Not having a sense of despair is a good place to be. Paul Rowan writes as well in the Sunday Times about takes on the Bulgaria deny they'll go to try to rough Ireland up angle. And, you know, we need to remove our, it's all about controlling the emotions, the word of Heimir Helgrimsson this week.
Yeah, he praised the players for kind of not reacting to what they perceived to be sort of rough treatment from the Bulgarians the last day. Whereas in one of the pieces, I think it was in the Sunday Indo, that the quotes from the Bulgarian manager kind of suggested that if you think that was rough, well, then we can really show you what rough is later on. But yeah, he kind of praised the players for not reacting. And we know that when yellows don't count, Bulgaria will go in this area to the maximum. We just need to be ready, both physically and our duels. We know what is coming. And secondly, in terms of how we react when this happens, we need to control our emotions in games like this. And hopefully they do, because there was a couple of tackles that you were definitely questionable.
Yeah, they don't carry over for the World Cup is the big thing there.
No.
So that's, yeah.
Yeah, poor Evan Ferguson again. I mean, like, that was
a red card, yeah, isn't it?
It's almost as if they know that he's kind of a bit vulnerable or something. Anyway, it was really, really horrible.
Yeah. You know, we're going to get through tonight anyway, and whatever that means, we really don't know.
Okay.
What a goal!
The League of Ireland is back.
Every Friday night, it'll be impossible to miss the League of Ireland.
Make sure you listen to the League of Ireland exclusively on Off the Ball.
Become a member now and join in the obsession. Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.